Father, may your presence fill this place. May the anointing fill this place. May your spirit be upon every single person. May the freshness of your word be in this place. May your word be alive here, not dead. May your word bring life, bring revelation. May your word bring a lifting of the veil and opening of the eyes. May the supernatural begin to move. May the things that is above the natural, the power of God, may the supernatural begin to move. Even this morning and even tonight, will you move in miracles? Will you move in power? Will you move in prophecy? As you desire, let your spirit be welcome in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, give him one more praise offering. Amen. You may have your seats. Say with me, silencing demonic accusers. Say it again. Say silencing demonic accusers. They are accusers, whether you are a businessman, whether you work somewhere, whether you're in school, whether you're in ministry. They are accusers that constantly accuse. Accusers are people, but it is also goes beyond that. It is demonic forces operating through them. It is whisperings in a person's ear. For example, I was reading the story yesterday of a man of God that I know, and he was saying how they had one service, one New Year's Eve service or something like this, and people, about 20 to 30 people, brought their cars to sow their cars. And then what he would do is he would just take the car out of there and give it to people that needed cars in the congregation. And they were doing that, and he'd one car. He felt and he took the car keys and he said, "No, I'm not giving this one away. Go put it in my garage." And he said, "There's a specific reason. You'll see why." And his staff didn't know why, and they put it in his garage. And then a week later, or the next day or something like that, the man who gave the car came back to the church and said, "Listen, I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I should not have given this much. Can I have my car back?" So the man of God said, "You see, that's why I said we don't give this car away, we keep it in the garage." And they gave the car back to him. And he said these words, and he said, "You know, after I sold the car, a voice kept telling me, 'You made a mistake, you made a mistake, you made a mistake.' Every time my wife and I would do something radical, give big." I mean, there was seats, sometimes I can give big, I don't feel it, but when we gave our car, that one I felt. Because I had children, and for a year we had no, even while we planted this church, we had no car, and we had children. So that one, I felt it moved on the inside of me. Afterwards, I thought, "Man, I think I made a mistake." I said, we should not have done this. All those thoughts, it's the whisperings of an accuser. Whispering, also saying, "How do you give it to this church? Are they just taking your money? This is what's happening. That is what's..." It's the whisperings of an accuser. The voice of an accuser, whether it is a human being, a devil in a human, or a whisperings just in the ear. The voice of an accuser is demonic in its nature. I want to say it again. The whisperings of an accuser is demonic in its nature. And I want you to have your spirits open, because we're going to go higher and higher and higher. Go for it to Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 10. Listen to this. John is saying, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren," say with me, "the accuser of our brethren, who have accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." There is an accuser before God on your behalf that is accusing you the whole time before God. Are you guys with me? We see it in the book of Job. We see it here in the book of Revelation. That's why you need Christ as the high priest who has no end, no beginning. Are you guys with me? Say with me, accusers. When a person, the Bible says that he is the accuser of our brethren. Satan's names, one of his names is accuser. He has many other names, Beelzebub. He has Lucifer. He has the Morning Star. He has many other names, but one of his names is the accuser. And one thing I began to realize as I looked through scripture, that God always, always sides with the accused and not with the accuser. An accuser's words and mouth is anointed by hell itself. Which means that if you hear an accuser speaking against the church, against me, against the leadership here, against your life, know that they've been given an anointing. But it is anointing of hell. Are you guys with me? Okay. Is it too heavy? Accusations. Now, accusations and persecutions validates the anointing upon your life. That's the good thing. When no one says anything bad, I wonder what's going on. When nothing bad happens to a person, I question their Christian life. But when it's attack after attack, and it tells me there's a treasure inside of you that the devil doesn't want loose. There's a treasure inside of you that what if that thing comes loose, the devil is in trouble. And he's trying to discourage you, he's trying to put you down. You need a face as straight as a flint. You need a face as hard as a flint and say, devil, doesn't matter what you throw at me, I come against you 3 times harder. Accusations and persecutions is the approval and the validation of the anointing upon your life. May you be accused. I'm joking. Let me say, may you be persecuted. You will see that as the church grew from the New Testament, where it exploded, the Bible says one day 3,000 was added, next day 5,000 was added. The church rapidly grew and exploded, so much so that the whole Roman Empire at that time was taken over by the church. Are you guys with me? But something happened that plundered them into the Dark Ages. Before the Dark Ages took place, there was, I don't know if it was Nero or, I'm not exactly sure. What began to happen is, where there was persecutions beforehand, they would die at the stake, they would get killed, the church's growth was exploding. The more it became that people, the Bible actually says it became a fashion to die for Christ. And how Paul rebukes them and say, listen here, this thing now has become a fashion. It's no longer even in the heart that you want to do this. You just want to do it because everybody's doing it. There's a scripture for it, okay? And so, but that's how popular it's been. And the church was exploding as long as what persecution was there. But when Alexander came in and one of those guys, and they tried to, and they made the church acceptable, began to give the church buildings and made it acceptable, the church shrunk and went into the Dark Ages. When persecution and accusation is removed, ministry and church growth and your Christian life will go down. Too many luxuries can make us sissies in the spirit. Are you guys with me? But when things are hard and difficult, there's something that just tells you to keep your eyes upon God. So that is why during this season, even as we go into it tonight, why am I suffering? You'll see. You'll see tonight. So let's read number 16. Go for me from verse 1. Go in the King James Version. From verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Issa, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram. You don't have to remember those things. Don't worry. The son of Eliab and the son of... Let's go to the next verse. And they rose up. Say with me, rose up. They rose up before Moses. Listen, I can take this scripture we're going to go on and I can go on a tantrum right now. These were leaders in the church. Moses was the leader. Are you guys with me? He was the man leading this whole thing. But there were people in the church, let's say the deacons or the elders, or let's say the cell leaders, or let's say the associate pastors. I don't know who it is, somebody that feels they're entitled to something. But they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. So they even gathered people with them and begin to rise up against Moses. These things happen in church. Are you guys with me? Who 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation. These men were men who were famous. They had influence in the church. Famous in the congregation. Men of renown. Next verse. And so I apologize to the visitors this morning. We usually have a joyful message, but this is just one that I felt to get through, okay? And they gathered themselves together against Moses. Say with me, against. They gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, why? No, I said to you to put me in the New King James Version, please, my brother. So, let me just read again. I want you to catch this. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves. They say, listen, Leon, you're doing too much stuff, spiritual stuff. I'm not speaking of small works that makes us tired. He says, for all the congregation is holy. It's not only you who can hear from God. Everybody is holy and can hear from God. I know people have whispered this to you. Eh? Every one of them, the Lord is among them. The Lord is also with everyone, they're saying. Is what they're saying, is it wrong? That's a trick question. Everybody's too scared. Of course, is it right? It is right, what they are saying. Are you guys with me? Are you with me? Okay. It is right. What they are saying is right. But the spirit they are doing it in is wrong. The approach they are taking is wrong. They rose up against Moses. So they say, of course, everybody is holy. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. That word is an empowerment statement, meaning you go and become holy. You are holy. That's what that word means, which means every one of you sitting here who has received Christ, who has received the Holy Ghost to live on the inside of you, who can pray in other tongues. You can pray in other tongues. You are holy. You are set apart for God. Are you guys with me? And the Lord, he says, and the Lord is among them. Now listen to this. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. I want you to see this, that Moses was not the one that was fighting back. He fell on his face and he began to pray for them. He fell on his face and he began to realize what is happening. Next verse. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. Say with me, tomorrow morning, I pray that every accuser against your life, may it be in business, in the workplace, in ministry, any voice, any whispering, that tomorrow they'll be shown God in his strength. Just say, listen, there's a time that is coming where a competition will come and God will show himself strong on your behalf. Listen. Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who he is and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Next verse. Do this, take census, Korah and all your company. Next verse. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take much upon yourself, you sons of Levi. Next verse. So now Moses was getting back at them. He says, listen here, don't say I'm taking much upon myself. You have just taken much upon yourself. Danger is coming now. Then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi. Next verse. Is it a small thing to you? Listen to this. Is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to serve them? Is it a small thing that you've become a cell leader at ECC? Is it a small thing that you've become part of the team and we're here on Thursday night and we're doing DAF departments, we're serving on the media, serving the children's church, serving? Has it become a small thing? Do you now want to put yourself in a higher place? Are you guys with me? Never make it a small thing. Whether it is opening a door out there, whether it is cleaning the toilets. I have learned, I've cleaned toilets, a lot of toilets when I was young in the ministry. I've packed chairs. I think I invented the string when the guys used the string with the volunteers. Okay, so because my chairs didn't want to stay straight. So it's all of us start at small things. Are you guys with me? Go for the next verse. And that he has brought you near to himself. Do you see this as a small thing? You and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. And are you seeking now the pulpit also? Now, we don't have anyone like that here. We thank God. But dear God, did we have. Okay? Next verse. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And now, everybody say to me, against the Lord. But previously the scripture says against Moses. It says they rose up and gathered together against Moses. Here the Bible says you have come and gathered yourself up against the Lord. When somebody gathers themselves against you, when accusers come against you, what they mistake, what they don't understand is that they are coming against God Himself. I am not saying that what they accuse you of is real. Listen, at another place you see how Miriam and Aaron accused Moses for marrying an Ethiopian wife, which was a sin. Are you guys with me? God said, the Bible makes a very scary statement. It says, and the Lord heard it. Full stop. That is it. And the Lord heard it. Not Moses. And God called a meeting with him. And God didn't even call Moses into the meeting. And Moses was the one who was sinning. And leprosy struck Miriam and Aaron. Are you guys with me? It didn't come upon Aaron because he was protected by the mantle that he carried off Moses. But when Moses took the mantle off Aaron, Aaron dropped down dead. That is how important associations is. That is how important relationships in the body of Christ is. Is this too much? I don't know. Okay, and we're teaching you spiritual principles that will really make you go far. Complain. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? Next verse. And Moses sent to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eli. But they, listen to this. Listen, what verse is this? 12. I want you to read with me. Moses, say with him, Moses. He was the leader. He was the senior pastor. So he sent to Dathan and Abiram. He sent to Chris and to Stephan, the sons of someone, okay? And said, come here. And they said, we will not come up. Instant disobedience and stubbornness. Disobedience is as the sin, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and disobedience as idolatry. In another translation, it says stubbornness. Many people are stubborn-hearted, and God can sometimes not see it too lightly. They say, we will not come up. Look at the rebellion in this congregation. It says, it is a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince. He says, listen, you promised us a land. Leon, you promised us a big church, a building that's going to stand. We're 2 years into this thing. I'm thinking, my God, we've just survived 2 years. And you're saying, no, Leon is a false prophet. His things isn't coming to pass. Marriage is falling apart here. The things are not happening. The land of milk and honey is not happening. And he still thinks of himself as a prince. I think it is too hot. Is it okay? I'm just using names as an example so that you can understand and you can be protected. And you will see how we'll deal with accusers after this. That anything that has been said, because accusers in your ears, it will poison your system. Accusers starts off with subtle suggestions. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of this land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? So you act like a prince. This was a direct indictment on Moses. It was a statement. Next verse. Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance or fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up, they said. Next verse. Then Moses was very angry. So very angry. Not angry, just very angry. And said to the Lord, do not respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt any of them. Now Moses is in a place, a friendship with God. God said, I speak to my servant Moses face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. Moses had the ability to say, do not accept their offering. Dangerous, dangerous. They thought that they could accuse you. But because you are in a location called ECC, it takes one prayer. How many of you are anointed in this place? The Bible says, do not touch my anointed. May the enemy, may the devil not touch you. If the anointing is upon you, if the devil touches you, that curse will be sent back. That is how it moves. That is how it works. That is how it operates. They have tried many things with me. I am still standing here. I have had so many curses sent to me. They tried to kill me. They tried to kill my wife. They came in with 7 guns into a church at a time. 7 guns. to my house, to my church, it did not touch me. They try to take a knife and get into the house while my wife is alone. Cannot touch her. Do not touch my anointed. May the protection of God be upon you. May this anointing be upon you. That if you're under this grace, under this covering, that nothing will touch you. That any plan of the enemy and any plan of the devil that comes against you, may it be destroyed this day. May they say, those people at ECC are protected. If they're in car accidents or a truck runs over them, they're not even harmed. They are protected. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, you are close to God. I can tell you a secret, that God likes ECC. And we haven't even started yet, so that will be quick just now. I want to go just close with this thing, because we're going to drop it with a certain verse. Then Moses was angry, very angry. Next verse. And Moses said to Korah, tomorrow you, say with me, you and all your company. Say with me, and all your company. That's important to remember. Be present before the Lord, you and they as well as Aaron. Next verse. Let each take his censer and put incense on it, and each of you bring censers. Go, next verse. So every man took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, stood by the door of the tabernacle of the meeting with Moses and Aaron. Next verse. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them. Listen, we have seen this stuff. And this is how church splits takes place. They gathered the congregation against Moses at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Next verse. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. This is not only Korah and the other two guys. These were their families, their friends, anybody that was just close to them, anybody that was associated with them. If you find yourself close to an accuser, get away quickly. Are you guys with me? If you find yourself in company or friendship with an accuser, with somebody who accuses, who's the pointing of the finger, the Bible says. Scripture says, remove the pointing of the finger from your midst. When you are in company with these people, when God judges them, judgment comes in everyone around them. It is like that. We would, as senior pastors, I would see this one as this spirit, that one as that spirit, that one as a gossiper. And you will see eventually over a few months, the gossipers gathered together, these ones gathered together. These ones, now if you're a gossiper, we put you out of the church. These ones gathered together. And that's biblical. So it's spirit calling unto spirit, that I may consume them in a moment. Next verse. Then they fell on their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? They didn't even sin. So the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, next verse, speak to the congregation, say to them, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan and everybody. Everybody say with me, get away. Next verse. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel following him. Next verse. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Next verse. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came and stood at the door of their tents with their wives, their sons, and their little children. Next verse. And Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. Go for it to verse 30. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Next verse. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, the ground split apart under them. Next verse. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah, with all their goods. Go for it to verse 35. And they came out from the Lord and consumed, and fire came out from the Lord and consumed 250 men who were offering incense. God began to consume everybody even around them. Are you guys with me? Verse number, go to 41. Almost finished. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Now, everybody say with me, complain. Another word for it, King James, is actually murmuring, meaning that these people will murmur and complain about everything. Why are we not taken into the promised land? Take us back to Egypt. Murmuring and complaining sends a destroyer out. You'll see in another scripture how God sent a destroyer out to destroy them. God doesn't like complaining against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Next verse. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly a cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Next verse. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting. Next verse. And the Lord spoke to Moses again. Next verse. Get away among from this congregation also, that I may consume them in a moment. And that they fell, and Moses and Aaron began to fall on their faces. Next verse. So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from altar. Listen to this. He says, put incense on it and take it quickly. He says, take an offering, take a censer, incense, run it, run with that through the congregation, quickly to the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Next verse. Then Aaron took it as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the assembly, and already the plague had begun among the people. So he put an incense and made an atonement for the people. Next verse. And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. Are you guys with me? I'll stop there. I want the image to start to get through to you of what trouble accusers can get themselves in. Oh, it is silent. Okay. Okay. And what happens when, you know, we hear so many stories. I hear so many stories. And I made up my mind yesterday. I said, these things are defiling my spirit. It's affecting, it's poison in the blood. It begins to eat you up. And I will no longer have anything of it. In fact, I spoke to Pastor Mark later. I said, I will just sing praises about myself all the time. I'll sing, God, Leon, God has called you. Leon, God is going to do great things. Imagine if we hear that the whole time. Instead of hearing, you will be nowhere. You are this, you are that. Nothing will happen. Your life will be changed. Are you guys with me? Let me not get into that. Listen. I want to kind of like close off with this. Let me just give you the definition of an accuser. Number one, an accuser is someone who pulls you down. I'm going to say it again. An accuser is someone who pulls you down. In the story that we read, Numbers chapter number 16, verse number 3, it says these words. It says that they tried to pull Moses down. They said, why must you be up so high? Are you better than the people? Come down here to us. An accuser will try to pull you down. An accuser is what we call the pointing of the finger. Put on for me Isaiah 58 verse 9. 9 to 10. Isaiah 58 verse 9 to 10. Say with me the pointing of the finger. What is that? Just means one thing. It means, aha, that person there, that one there, they have done this. It's the pointing of a finger. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take, say with me, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. Next verse. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. When you remove the accuser from your midst, the pointing of the finger from your midst, light will come back into your life. Light will come back into the church. Are you guys with me? Number three, an accuser is the congregation of Satan. It's the church of Satan. The words and mouth, I said to you earlier, of an accuser that comes against you is anointed by hell itself. It carries the anointing of hell. Don't say to me, anointing is a holy thing. It is not. Anointing simply means a supernatural ability. Are you guys with me? So when we say the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is a supernatural ability. When we say that person has an anointing for the piano, it means that he has a supernatural ability to play the piano. But some people have a supernatural ability to accuse and speak bad about people. An anointing from hell. Listen. An accuser is the silent whispering in the ear saying, who do you think you are? You think you are God. People coming to people at church saying, you know, who does, and same, so many people have come to me and they tell me what they've heard, saying, where people say, you know, you guys treat Leon as he's your God. I don't, if you treat me like you treat God, then you're not treating God good. I'm joking. Hell has an anointing, and it is called accusation. Dealing with accusers is dealing with the demonic. When a person accuses, the first thought that must come in is, this is the demonic, and we must deal with it. Are you guys with me? I'll close off with this. Let's go to John chapter number 8, verse 1. Lebrono Zakate Kennedy. And I wish I could get into more because of the baby dedication, it's a bit less time, but next week we'll close this off and it's going to be powerful. John 8, verse 1. Let me just read this to you. Put it on the screen for me, John 8, verse 1. Oh, we'll close with something else. Okay. John 8, 1. Guys, come on. John 8, verse 1. Oh, it's not on there. That's why I'm asking. So just fix that. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Next verse. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Next verse. I want to get to a poor story. Then the scribes and Pharisees, listen to this, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Say with me, caught in adultery. That means she was caught in the very act of it. Are you guys with me? And when they had set her in the midst, next verse, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Next verse. Now listen to this. First of all, according to the law of Moses, these people are witnesses. Are you guys with me? This is a sin punishable unto death. To be stoned to death. This is a sin. This is a serious court case that is taking place. They brought this woman here accusing her. But the Old Testament speaks of witnesses, if there's one or two witnesses. But listen to how Jesus turns this thing around. He says, now Moses, they say, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, Jesus? They try to catch him out all the time. This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. Next verse. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin, say with you, without sin, among you, let him throw a stone at first. Next verse. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Next verse. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Listen, are you guys with me? He said, those of you who are without sin, say with me, sin. He does not speak here of sins. He says, this sin here, adultery. If you are without it, you can throw the first stone. And the Bible says, from the eldest to the youngest, they were convicted in their hearts, which means they were part of this whole thing. From the archbishop, from the pope, the archbishop, from the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, from the eldest to the youngest, they all had done this sin, and they walked away convicted. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the mix. Next verse, listen to this. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those, say with me, accusers? Does he say witnesses? Huh? He says accusers. Where are those accusers? Has no one condemned you? Next verse. She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. When we think we are a witness to something, Jesus sees us as an accuser. I don't know how to explain to you. They might have brought you to ECC to say you are this bad. Maybe some of your parents brought you and say, listen here, you are too bad. You need to come to ECC. What they didn't know is that they are an accuser and not a witness. What they didn't know is that when they bring you here, you are stepping into a no condemnation zone. When Jesus was standing, he said, where are your accusers now? And she said, they are not here, Lord. And he said, yes, so do I not condemn you. Go and sin no more. He had a no condemnation zone around him. Accusers couldn't stay in his presence. Are you guys with me? Accusers will not be able to stand in the presence of ECC. Listen. And when he said, go and sin no more, it was a statement of empowerment. meaning. Don't go and try not to sin. No, no, no. From this moment, your sin is gone. It's an empowerment statement. Are you with me? Okay. So, let me close. I'll close with this. I close with this. The mistake people did was when they accused you and bring you to ECC. They thought they're going to be rewarded. Even when people in the church accuse my people of something, I never take the side of the accuser. Let's come silent because we don't like this. This is Jesus style. Is that okay? And I'm not speaking of a serious event or so, but you get accusers. They are employees of the devil. Accusers are employed by the devil to go into churches and destroy them, to break down Christian lives and make them backslide. Let me close off. I'll read you this one verse. A warning. Say with me, a warning to my accusers. Put for me on Psalm 109, verse 1. I want you to read this. Let's stand to our feet, church. Let's stand to our feet. May this be. And I said to you, accusers can be people who accuse you constantly. It can be a whispering in the ear, a demonic whisper in the ear. It can be the pointing of the finger, where they point the finger at you and they say, you are so bad. You have done this. You are this. This ECC is a cult. This, that, blah, blah, blah. They accuse, 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 accuse. Let's see their reward. This is Psalm 109, verse 1. To the chief musician, a Psalm David, next verse. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Next verse. They also have surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. I've had people that I loved so much and they would turn on me in one day and betray me, and I loved them. Next verse. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. Next verse. Set a weak, now listen to what David is saying. This is King David, okay? Set a wicked man over that one. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. Let somebody accuse him. Next verse. When he is judged, let him be found guilty and let his prayer become sin. Next verse. Let his days be few and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from the desolate places. Next verse. Let the creditor seize, listen here. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let his debt increase. And let strangers plunder his labor. Next verse. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Next verse. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sins of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. May people not even think of them anymore. Next verse. Because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. Next verse. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Next verse. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers. Say, my accusers. And to those who speak evil against my person, listen, I speak right now, any demonic voice in your ears, a whispering in your ears, may it be a devil, may it be somebody that's just continually pulling you down, may it be a pointing of a finger, may it be somebody that's making you feel guilty, making you feel condemned, making you feel worthless. May today your accusers be silenced. In the name of Jesus Christ, may every demonic accuser be silenced against your business, against your family, against yourself, against your ministry, whichever area. May every accuser be silenced in the name of Jesus Christ. Give him a praise offering, church.